Meditation is not the doing, it is the resting into yourself. Very easy, effortlessly. But, of course, as you start relaxing into yourself and you are full of a lot of thoughts, feelings, emotions, all kinds of stuff, then you will have to meet that first. That's why it's very important to unburden yourself, to release any tensions in the physical body, in the mental body, in your emotional body. And then, that is what I call the homework. Then it's easy to sit, because you have prepared the ground. If you want to make a beautiful flower garden and it's only rubbish in your garden, because you haven't been taking care of it, or maybe you moved just in there and it's full of garbage, of glass, of all kinds of rubbish, then first you have to clean the garden then, don't you? First you have to clean the garden to make space for something new. The garbage comes there by unconsciousness. No, first you have to be little conscious so you realize that I want to throw out the garbage. All that is ugly. Then when you have done that, you have to look at the soil. Maybe you need to till the soil, maybe you need to get some better earth, maybe you need to get some fertilizers, maybe you need a lot of water. All those is different things. What I mean, you have to take care of it, you have to see what you are doing, you have to see how you live, think, feel, talk. You have to put awareness into every side of your life. Then when you are satisfied with the earth, then you can plant, no? Then the more conscious you are, the more beautiful things you are planting. Then, of course, you have to take care of these little seeds. These little seeds that has been a lot of work to get in the soil. Now you have to take care of it. Even more consciousness. Even more commitment to water them every day. To see that everything is right. That's what I mean, you have to be steady. You have to be committed. And the mind is such that you again and again go astray. Because you are not used to being committed to that which is real, that which is beautiful. You are used to being sidetracked, and you even think you have responsibility in all kinds of stupid things. Even when the new is coming, knocking on the door, still the past is haunting you. That's why I have to remind you. The past is gone. Focus on the important. And of course, the more beautiful the new is, the easier it is. And it should be very easy. If you are aware, if you are touched by love, by consciousness, then it should be very easy. Your whole focus on that which is possible, that which is available. Beloved Swaha, it is so amazing to be in your energy field again, in this winter wonderland. It is the first time I have been in such a winter environment where it is cold enough for the snow to be so light and fluffy and not melt at all. You see, it's not good that everything melts. Snow should be cold. Huh? There is always exceptions. Snow should be cold. You should be warm, no? It seems to remind me on some level of a past life as a Native American in a similar conditions, in my wigwam, wrapped in my animal skins, quiet, peaceful, surrounded with a similar energy. Is this possible? Can you talk a little on past lives, beloved? Thank you for your amazing retreats and sharing your overflowing cup of love. Your disciple, Hosang. You are coming all the time now, Hosang, yeah?
I'm addicted.
You're addicted? And how is this addiction? What does it do with you?
It's fantastic. It's made me feel better than I've ever felt in my life.
Heat or cold, no? That's what I take you to, both heat and cold, huh? So you can go beyond both. Heat and cold is just the preparation. It seems to remind me on some level of a past life as a Native American in similar conditions, in my wigwam, wrapped in my animal skins, quiet, peaceful, surrounded with a similar energy. Is this possible? It's very possible. And it's a well-known fact that many times when you come to a situation or a place or an energy, then you remember. You say you have never been in this kind of environment. Huh? So you needed this. And this energy that is here, this peace, this meditativeness, this friendliness, this at-homeness, for that memory to get stirred. And many times comes to very strange places and they feel very at home. Why? Because you have something from the past, from that place. And you feel at home there. First time I came to India, I felt much more at home than I ever felt in the West. felt totally at home. And when the first time I saw a picture of Hanuman and Shiva on the street in Delhi, I fell down on my knees on the street. I didn't know what was happening. The first time I saw the sadhus in the north where I was traveling, then I just started walking with them into the mountains. Like that. And when I met Osho, my master, then he said, when he gave me sannyas, no, you don't need to travel anymore. You are home now. I said, okay. Because we've been many places, and this is definitely one of those kind of places here in Dharma Mountain, just like it was in the native Indian villages, because everything is quiet. You hardly feel the civilization. And it's a beautiful energy, and you have the wild animals and the full moon. Everything is here, no? And it's very difficult to find that. And all this is available and can remind you, and not only remind you, but help you, assist you for that silence, that peace. The only thing that is in the way is in the mind, which I see again and again. You come and I bring you to these beautiful places, but your old mind is following you like a ghost. I can't believe it. Why do you want to keep company with this old bugger? It's only torturing you. And you're dragging it, even coming to visit me, I can't believe it. Then I have to, okay, we do some sacred earth meditation, at least release some energy. You have to laugh and cry a little bit more. So difficult to just be quiet, just to stop, just to be peaceful. It comes when it comes. You have to be very truthful with yourself. And when you have the right environment, then it's very easy. Very easy to go into it. But also, that quiet environment, of course, will show you much more what you are carrying with you. Any tensions, any uneasiness, any mind, any ego will come up much, much stronger. Because you don't leak it out, you don't run around, you don't have all the noises. So everything will be much clearer. So this is very much like it was in any natural environment, how we've been living for thousands of years. And this Native Americans, before the white man came, they were living so beautifully. And they had all these nice names. The mountain people, the forest dwellers, the desert folk, the peaceful one, the real people. They had beautiful names, the friendly people. All that got destroyed when the white man came. Because he wanted land, he wanted money, he wanted power. Anybody who lives in harmony with themselves, with nature, they are not interested in these things. Impossible. Because they have a much deeper connection with existence, with themselves. And that is what I'm trying to do with you. As you go deeper, you get different values. You remember different things. Then all those things that you thought were important, it disappears by themselves, because you get deeper, higher values. You get higher responsibilities. Things that you thought you were responsible before, it just fades away when you remember. It's effortless. It just depends on your awareness, on your consciousness. If you're going where you, everybody, all the egoists are going, then many, many things. You have to be like everybody else. You have to play by the rules. That's what is brainwashed. Everybody thinks the same, like robots. Then you start getting insights. No, it's not like that. Then if you go on one day, you're above all that fog. And above the fog, above the clouds, the sun always shines. And when the sun shines, you can see. So the master is like the sun, it gives you clarity to see. That it's not like that. Then you see, no, you have different responsibilities. You have to let go of the past, all your ideas that you have. It's the only way you can really fully be with me on this journey. And these Red Indians, that is very good because they had that. All natural people had it, be that Native Indians, or I'm talking about the Taoist in China, or the Bhaktis in India, or the Tibetans, or the Sufis. They all had this because they were living in harmony with themselves. When you live in harmony with yourself, you will be harmonious in nature and with your fellow beings. And around an enlightened one, there will always be many people who have been on many paths, and some even old friends who have been together before, and some that has been very, very close. And you don't necessarily remember that for a certain time, where you are again close to that energy, or that situation, or that intimacy. And then these things will be remembered. I mean, I think everybody likes the Native Americans, no? Especially from when you were a kid, you have it, dum 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 dum. But by chance, I came after Osho left America, then I traveled through America. Somebody gave me a nice car and I was driving around enjoying. And then I ended up in New Mexico, where a lot of sannyasins had gone. So it was one of my stops on the way in Santa Fe. And then it was one Indian chief that they were waiting for. And of course the sannyasins, they had gotten friends with the Red Indians, the Native Indians there. And many Native Indians, they are totally gone, they are alcoholics. It looks terrible, some of their areas. But some is really like they should be, like in the old days. And of course these people had gone very friendly. And they were by chance living in the house I'm staying, or visiting there. And it was three Red Indians there, and they said they were waiting for their chief. And he came from the north, from Minnesota or something, maybe every 4 or 5 years. And he was supposed to come next week or in 5 days. And then of course we got friends. You know, all natural people, they get friends, no? And then they invited me to this sweat lodge with the chief. And I had never thought about it, but that has always happened in these kind of things. And they said, you are very fortunate, you are lucky, because this guy is only coming every, and we are his close students, but we like you so much, we like you to come also. And I sweat lodge for so many hours, Jesus Christ. Because it's very intense, the whole night they were going to go on. And okay. And it was very intense. But then when we were sitting in there, then this one of the men who had been inviting me, he realized that we had been brothers in the past life. Then we both remember, we enjoy very much that. So then that was finished. And that Indian chief, he was very happy. Of course, we had a very nice connection. And he said, you're very lucky to have a master like you have, no? And I said, I know, because I felt I don't need all these white buffalo from the north and they boom, 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 boom. I don't know that. Let's get it more easy, you know? Waving this and this and all these ceremonies. No, you don't need that, no. Well, I have some of it. I have this. This is my feathers. And if this is not enough, then this. And then this is not enough, then. And this. So it's a different tribes, yeah? This is like for the tickle tribe, those who understand just to be tickled. And then just a little tickling and goof, they're gone. And those who need a little bit hit and dunga, dunga, dung. That is like a hard mango or something, do, do, do. Then they get a little softer. And then the coconuts and those kind, that tribe, the coconut tribe, that you have to wham, wham, wham. But it takes much more effort. But that's how it is. It has always been different tribes. But of course, sometimes different tribes mix, and then they feel a little bit like, because here the coconut tribe comes into the feather tribe, and the love tribes, certainly then there's like somebody from the anger tribe coming. And then you feel like, oh my God, how is... Then in the end, everybody can become friends. That's the miracle. But maybe sometimes it takes time because everybody have the habits. They don't understand the language of tickling if they are used to being hammered. No. That's how it is, but what to do? Could you please, can you talk a little on past lives, beloved? No, I don't think so. And that is something, because this past life, the mind is very interested in it. And I have seen that again and again. And I think all masters and mystics, I remember Buddha had a list of things that he didn't want to talk about. And one thing was this past life situation. And life after death. And all these kinds of nonsense. Because what is important is that you wake up now, you realize where you are now, not where you were in your past life. And I belong to that family, so I think I just relax with that. Because all this esoteric nonsense, it's just so juicy for the ego and for the mind and being special and all this that I don't care shit about it. But the past lives are there, and I remember many, but these are things is happening, and I think for some, they remember easier than others. And also it has to do something, the more and more you become aware, then everything is coming up. But I must have been around a lot because I feel at home in all the traditions and I know them so well, I can really talk about it from the inside. Both that tribe and that tribe, and that part and this part. The same thing that happened with this Indian chief or master happened to me with the enlightened Tibetan master, the 16th Karmapa, exactly the same. I got invited in. No, I didn't even get invited in. But I had a sannyasin friend who had been a disciple of him for a long time. And by chance, I was in New York City, and this Karmapa, he was coming to New York City, and this man has been waiting like 6 years, 5-6 years, to meet him, because long line. And I didn't see people in satsang, it was individual meeting, no? So very, very special. And then in New York City, they have a Tibetan center. Very beautiful. You're just one of these streets in New York City, dirty and bricks like everywhere. But then you knock on the door and you go in and everything becomes Tibetan. It's like you see in this Narnia, no? The movie Narnia. You go into that closet and then it opens up in different world. It's like that. You go in there, that door, and then boof. Then the incense and the monks in maroon robes and the dark colors and the Buddhas and the tankas and the smells and the everything is like totally like you go into Tibet. It was very beautiful. Huh? This in New York is just leaving you. Then we went upstairs and we were sitting in this little waiting room for him. And I was just with him enjoying. And then it came his trip, and he said, okay, see you, and then he walked in. But without knowing, I didn't think about it before, I just walked after him. I just walked after him into the room where the master was sitting, and he wasn't even aware of it. I was just woof. No energy, woof, and sat down. And when he sat down, then he realized I was sitting there. And the master was sitting in front and Karmapa, he thought most probably that everything was fine. That was and the poor guy, there was Karmapa, he talked to me. And we hit it off really good, of course. That was quite the blow for this guy. What to do? It wasn't me who did it. But with this Karmapa, then it was a great realization for me because it was the first time I realized that it wasn't only Osho. I recognized it because I had this taste of enlightenment from Osho. And after that, when you know it, you can recognize it. Nobody could fool me. Hmm? And then I recognized him there. And he took very good care of me. He was very happy, of course. And not only that, but I come to hear later that much earlier, in the beginning when Osho started talking, then he had some disciples that went to Sikkim. And that's where this Karmapa, he had this monastery in Sikkim after he escaped from Tibet. And then these sannyasins came to his monastery and he saw the mala. And he took the mala from the sannyasins and he said, hey, who's this? And he said, this is my master, Bhagwan, Rajneesh. And he said, ah, this is, you're very lucky, I know this. They had been together before in Tibet, like this. No, that bastard, he, no, he's... And he said, this is the Buddha for this century, you know, because he spread much more than the Tibetan tradition managed to do. This Indian chief, Namiputmim is his Indian name. In the Americans, they called him Chief Joseph. He says, I'm so tired of talk that comes to nothing. It makes my heart sick. It makes my heart sick when I remember all the broken promises. There has to be much. There has been too much talking. Too much talking by man who had no right to talk. There has been too much talking by man with no right to talk. It does not require many words to speak the truth. It does not require many words to speak the truth. But who speaks the truth? And even those who speak the truth, you can't listen because you are so full of words. Buddha, he always started, or many of his discourses, by saying, listen. Listen, and listen well. Because it's not enough just to hear. People hear and they say they hear it and then it goes out the other ear. You have to listen, and you have to listen with that capacity that you listen from your heart, from your being, not from your mind. And when he says, listen, listen well, my devotees, that means he's speaking even more important. It might seem very ordinary, nothing to do with the spiritual truth, but it is everywhere. Everything is part of life. So this Indian chief, he says, I'm so tired of talk that comes to nothing. And everybody is talking, but show me the result. And he's also so tired. And any wise man is tired because everybody is so good talking. So talking of what they should do and all the plans and all the projects and all the ideas and all the promises. But who is really doing something? Show me what you have done. Enough of talk, show me action. If you know something, put it into reality. It makes my heart sick when I remember all the broken promises. And he's saying this at the end of his life. It makes my heart sick when I remember all the broken promises. And of course, especially from the white man. That is what he's talking about, because the native Indians, they were standing up for the world. They were real people. But all the white people, they just talk and talk and lies. And that's where the red Indians, they had this special word that the white men speak with two tongues. They never had that before. They had only one tongue. One tongue, one heart. Easy. So the old chief was heartsick and amazed. Like I am also. How can you have, I thought humans had one tongue, but two tongues, three tongues, four tongues, five tongues, 10 tongues. People are saying everything and they don't do it, they don't live up to it. And one thing is that you feel sad, you feel sick in the heart because all these broken promises. But how does these people feel inside themselves? By never standing up for what they are talking about. So it's a very sad situation. And all real people see this. But people are just used to it because everybody has two tongues or 24 tongues. If I speak to that, I use that tongue. If I speak to that, I use that tongue. No, one tongue, one heart. Then easy. If everybody could just have that, so you know who you're talking to, you know who you're dealing with. There has been too much talking by man who has no right to talk. This is what I mean, these people, I have said this sentence myself from my own realization. There has been too much talking by man who had no right to talk. It does not require many words to speak the truth. God, do I like these people. This is my friends. You have friends like that, no problem. You can go anywhere in the world. They follow you and support you. Why travel so far to be in silence, to meditate? The capacity to be in silence is inside you, wherever you are, blah, 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 blah. But today, in the expansion of my chest, the sweetness of simply being, I understood, my beloved, your presence permeates everything. That's what they call a Buddha feel. When you come into that Buddha field, then something happens, if you are receptive. Then you get soaked. Then you remember. Then you remember why you have to travel. This is why I came from this encounter with the magic of the moment to this date with God. Close to you, I become open, vulnerable, And your love, your beauty touches me, transforms me, and wakes up that which is best in me, life, love. This, to become open and vulnerable, that is what transforms you. And that is almost gone from the world. Where do you find vulnerable, open people? That is the magic that is happening. And in that vulnerability, openness, then lives can come. How can life, how can love, how can the beloved come if you are closed? Impossible. It doesn't matter how physically close you are. When you are open, vulnerable, then the bliss comes, life comes. This happens every time we meet, but here it is stronger, maybe because I'm away from the patterns in Brazil. Yes, that helps. And that's why I like you to come here and take you to the Brazil, or take you to India, or take you to Himalaya, because I know that this helps. It helps because you all is so much there. Your identity is so much there. It's very difficult, and every time people have problems, they go home to the known. And if you're not very strong, and if you don't take care of yourself, then you just slip into the old role, the old pattern. And it's very difficult then to transform into the new. It is possible, of course, because in one way it has nothing to do with the outside. But in the beginning it has. Because you are so identified with the outside. You are so identified with your personality, with who you think you are. So when you come here, it's totally right. Then you are away from your patterns. You are more you, the real you, the innocent you, the vulnerable you, the open you. Then that magic, my presence, can flood you much more easy. Many people meet a Buddha, but they don't get anything because it's too much them. It's so strong, so aesthetic. Why do I forget it? Don't think about why do you forget it. You remember. You remember. Put all your attention there. You remember. And see what that does to you. If you have the choice between the negative and the positive, always choose the positive. You forget because that is the habit of the mind, of your personality, of your patterns. But you remember. That remembrance gives you an insight. No, just be stronger in that. Why, after some time here, I keep on... Why, after some time there, I keep on listening to my thoughts? Because it's much easier to be unconscious than to be conscious. Here you are in my energy, the mind gets very shaky here. The ego feels almost embarrassed. And the real self want to wake up. Because that's what is happening. But everywhere else you go, they're just asking for your ego, for your identity, for your personality. So it's very easy to slip into that again. How can I forget the Buddha, the experience of love and ecstasy. What a crazy mechanism of opening and closing. It is crazy. But at least this is opening and closing. For most people, it's only closed. So again, always see it in the positive, because no, you know. You know, opening and closing, then it's a possibility to be open. And it has happened. You know it. It's your experience. Then it's impossible to go back. Before that point is all the possibility that you will go back. Because you don't know how it is to be open. Maybe you have read about it, maybe you have thought about it, maybe you have dreamt about it, but you don't know. You don't know how it is to be flooded by love, by grace, by silence. When that has happened, then it's very difficult. Then you see the possibility, no, I open, I close, but I want to be open. It's one of the most oldest saying in India, from darkness to light. That's the whole journey, from darkness to light. Darkness is just closed, identified with your ego, with your mind. Light is open, free, liberation. This is the whole part. But anyway, I reaffirm my intention to stay each time more connected and to go deeper. And I thank everything that brought me here, even the dark moments that gave me the wish to transcend, to go beyond and to surrender. Yeah, thank everything, because who cares? You are here. And every day I have to remind you, be happy you are here. Open your eyes. This is happening. Don't focus on the past. Drop it. It's no more there. Only in your mind you go to the past. I want you here now. Let's dance now. You can carry your whole backpack with the past. It looks awkward. I want to dance with you. Even if you manage to stand up, if you have your backpack, it won't be so elegant, or will it? Drop it. It's your past. You don't need to carry it. I don't understand why people want to dance with backpacks. Drop the past. It's not your responsibility anymore. Can I be more clear? Okay, then I will try other ways. I want to go beyond what I can see or feel. I'm standing on the edge of time and space, vibrating in gratitude and love to you and to Osho, to all the Buddhas. Love, Gitika. I know, Gitika, everything is fine. A lot has happened. Where's Anna? How are you doing, Anna? Huh?
Like a brother.
Like a brother?
No, I was going to say Ug.
Hantayo. No, Hantayo. Yeah, that's it. How was that? It felt good?
Yeah.
You should keep all those Indian words with you. Where are you going to Stockholm?
Yeah.
You need a lot of Hanta Yoga over there. So wherever you feel, just to let it go when you're walking there in the walking street there in Stockholm. I have been there. Or in Gamla Stan, no? Hanta Haya, Hunga Ya, Hanta Yo. Just do a little, huh? Not war dance, but peace dance. And just see how they respond. There's for her. I'm leaving today to go home to my physical home in Stockholm. and I would like to stick out my head before I leave. Do I have my sword here also? The first time I was here, I had the opportunity to ask questions directly in satsang, and you cut my head off sharply and quickly. It was painful and at the spot, but when I was home again, I was in my heart for at least a week. Thank you, thank you. You see, it worked. What is 1 second of pain if you have a few weeks of bliss? Remember. Yeah, you did remember. Very good. During the other satsangs I have been here, I have been in tune a few times and sometimes just window watching. But at the time, balancing between patience that the answer come by themselves and a laziness or shyness of fear of writing to you. Now I take the chance to get my head cut off or whatever needs to be done. This has been written to you 1,000 times, but I do it again. Thank you for being so patient with us coconuts, green fruits, and whatever we are once. I go home and do my homework. Big hug, Anna. So you know your homework now. Just the hungaga, ayaya, hundata. But I mean, you can do it in your apartment. There is easy. And you can buy some hantaya music like I have now. So you live alone, or how you have a family there?
I have a family, husband and 2 small boys.
Husband and 2 small boys, but he...
The boys would love
them. How old are they, the kid?
1 year old.
5 and 1. So they, you dance with them. I'm sure it most probably will be more easy with them than your husband. I don't know. Huh?
He loves you too.
He loves me. So you do with all, that is best. The whole tribe, husband, wife, children. Yeah, hunga pung. So you do that as a meditation. He works?
Yes.
And you are home?
I work sometimes.
Yeah, just sometimes. That's best. So he needs that also. You can help him when he comes home. Hmm? A little hantayo. Even if he's hungry, just 10 minutes, you will feel much better. So that is one part of the meditation. And then second, which is a little more difficult, but even more important, when you walk in Gamla Stan or somewhere in Stockholm, you can have an iPod or some music, yeah? And like, just like you lose yourself just in the music, you know, like, oh, I forgot. Oh, da, 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 da. So like that. Otherwise, people go around, but they just go. And just like this. Yeah? Even if they're boom, 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 boom. They just behave very ordinary. But you just, oh, boom, 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 boom. So you try that, not just to break the spell of the society, okay? Good luck. Beautiful Swaha, I just remembered 7 years ago, I was in a state of total silence, free of any emotions, sort of peaceful and extremely present. My remembering mind was totally gone. Is this who I am? I have earlier connected this to a sort of shock reaction after Tula and Øystein died in an accident. thank you for pouring love over me, into me, around me. Love and more love. Hug, Vibi. Yes, Vibi, this is it. Who you are is when you are gone. This is who you are. When you are gone, that is who you are. And this is the science, total silence, free of emotion. Free of emotion and the thinking mind, you're just totally a presence. And that is what happens in that sacred place, when you just let yourself go. You can't do it, but it happens. That's what's happened here. That's in love that happens if you come close. But it's almost unheard of because everybody is on guard. If you are totally open, receptive, melting, then you disappear. Then only silence, only peace, and extremely present. It's the meeting of the opposites. You are totally relaxed and totally alert. You say also you have earlier connected to this sort of shock reaction after Tulan Øystein died. And that's sometimes also when these shock situations, because it wakes you up. And it wakes you up into a higher reality, which is always there, but you need shock. Because why do we need shock? Because you are so asleep. So when the normal consciousness goes, this daily mind that thinks and worries about things from the past and the future and everything, then just the presence is there. And sometimes it happens in shock. Because you are totally thrown back to yourself. That means reality. And many people, they never experience that. They just, when they are on the deathbed, then what have I done? My remembering mind was totally gone. This is what I'm trying again and again to get you remember. But remember consciously, because it can happen by shock. And that is normal when people have an accident or have a sickness or suddenly get cancer or something, lose a child, or whatever happens, something very strong, some death, then you wake up. But that doesn't mean that it's integrated. No, you have an insight. But you have to integrate it, you have to stand up for it. That's the whole search. You have to find that space consciously. And it is available, but you have to be ready to drop all that which is hindering you, all that you are identified with in the ordinary day. And I, even people who are very, very close to me, I again have to remind them, because again the mind starts worrying of things. Things that is not present anymore, things from the past. And then you lose this sacred presence that is now, this silence, this clarity that is now. That is who you are. That is who everybody is. Babaji, I love you when you say relax. Be who you are. I get surprised and grateful. Thanks, love, Ruby. I could say that for me, that is the, I could say that the whole time. Relax. Be who you are. But you won't believe it because you are so fucking difficult. So I have to do this and this and that. Few people, they understand, they can accept it. Relax. Just relax here with me. Be who you are. You are totally accepted. Everything disappears. Boof. Then everything is fine. That's how easy it is. Or it can be. Just relax. Be who you are. Because who else can you be? And it's very difficult to find a good place to relax. And it's very difficult to accept yourself. So if these two, if you accept and relax, then no more worries, no more problem. Because you can only relax now. The tensions is from the past or from the future. Relax. Be who you are. Come, dance with me now. Relax now. Relax. Be who you are. Om Shanti. But the trick of existence is that you can never really relax before you know who you are. And that is good. And when you drop into that, like you ask, is this really me? Then yes, but then you are already relaxed. In fact, when you are there, you forget that you are relaxed. That's how it is. It's so relaxed that you forget that you are relaxed. I say easy is right, but in the space of this who I am, your real self, you forget that you are relaxed and you forget that easy is right. You forget everything because everything is and only is. And isness is my business. Aum Shanti.